Thank you for joining me, Bertie Brits, in today's broadcast of The Love Way. I greet you in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. The Love Way is a program that is grace and love based. The vision of The Love Way is to get you to a place where you are established in the message of God's unconditional love, mercy and grace that is towards you. You must know that you are approved of God. You must know your stand in Jesus Christ. And the vision of The Love Way is so that you can feel loved. Now, I don't say so that you can think, well, this is just this program that will never have anything radical in it, that will never have anything challenging in it, that's just going to soothe me in my sin. This is not The Love Way. The Love Way is explaining what Jesus has done for you so that you can come to a place where you can say, my God, thank you for Jesus. I see a radical change in my life. I experience radical power in my life, and I can go about making disciples, walk as Jesus ever wanted me to walk. Just walk in that victory that God has given for us. Amen. That's the vision that we have. Everything we have is designed around that, to build people. One thing I want you to know is that the vision that's in my heart is not to build this massive ministry. The vision is to see people being built in the grace of God. Now, it might imply that the ministry might get massive to do that, but that's not the number one vision. And if you're a pastor out there, I want to tell you this. If your vision is to build a ministry, if your vision is to see how big you can grow your ministry, how much money you can get into your ministry, how many followers you can get, you're going to fall into depression. You will never be able to handle it if somebody leaves your church. And if somebody leaves your church, you will either have a very sarcastic attitude towards such a person, you will feel that they've stabbed you in the back, or you will feel that they are rebels and they are against you, if you've got that type of mentality. But if your number one vision is to see people established in the grace of God, man, it doesn't matter if they belong to you or not, as long as they can hear this message of grace and believe it for themselves, they can go wherever they want. Amen. We want to lead people to Jesus. We don't want to lead people to pastors. Now, I know there are pastors watching me, and I want you to listen to this. This has helped me a lot. I don't say that I've got it all together, but this has really helped me a lot. Let's not lead people to us. Let's lead them to Jesus. Let's talk to them about Jesus. Let's help them to have a grace-based relationship with who God is. Now, grace-based means that we will never be able to manipulate them. We will never be able to control them. We will never be able to play with their emotions to get them to do what we want so that we can feel good as leaders. Now, so many teachings these days are designed to get people into church. You know, that's why we will preach a lot about change. Now, I don't say this happens cognitively. I don't believe a preacher goes up and say, well, I've got this certain message, and this message is now going to keep the people in my church and they're never going to leave, and that's why I preach this. I don't think people do that cognitively, but it does happen. If I go around, or if I've got a congregation, I tell them that they are in need of something, and I've got the thing that will meet their need, they will stick to me. That's just the way it is. If I tell them, listen, you need a change year, and they feel guilty about it, and I can bring the consequences of walking in that sin to them, and I can make it plain for them that it's very bad to have the thing in your life, and you need to go on this course, and you need to go on this camp, and you need to do this and that, and whatever, come to our special meetings where we're going to now help you to get rid of this thing in your life so that you can change. You know what? People will attend. People will come because people want to change. Most people that get saved has got a passion for God. They want to live for God. And what happens is, we come from a perspective, and this is what the enemy wants. He wants you to be sin conscious, so that the passion that you have for God and for the kingdom of God and for what Jesus has done for you will be directed to changing the wrong thing in your life. And the moment you do that, you are busy with the things of God, but you're not busy with God. You're not busy with God's things towards you, but you're busy with the things of God. You'll be busy with change. Well, I'm confessing, right? I'm trying to change. I'm putting in effort. And you know what? The moment I tell you about something wrong in your life, and I tell you, listen, you need to change this. And we don't give you the gospel that will bring forth the change. And we'll talk more about that in the next three, four sessions to come. If we don't give you that gospel, you will by your own effort try to change. And as you try to change, you will find other sins in your life. Man, that is so simple. Say you've got a temper problem. Now you want to get rid of the temper problem. As you try to get rid of it, you will hold it in, you know, for a week. And it will build up, and will build up. And after 2 weeks, it will just burst out. And all of a sudden, you will hear swearing coming out of your mouth. Normally, you would just get upset quickly, but now you would swear. Now you say, oh, I've got to change from the swearing problem as well. And then you will be so upset with the other person that you think you've got a hate problem now. And all of a sudden, you'll be so involved with your sins, trying to change, involved with trying to change your behavior modification, that you completely forget about mercy and grace and the love of God and the Holy Spirit indwelling you, and you are the temple of God, you are washed in the blood of Jesus, that you have been perfected forever through one sacrifice and all of those things. And then you'll go onto this course and that course and read this book, and somebody will have a book on the shelf that looks as if it will help you to change, and you'll buy it, and eventually you'll be so frustrated, and then you will come to a place where you will say, man, if I can just keep to a certain standard, that I can just make it that when I die, I go to heaven. And you will just float there and just hope you make it to heaven in the depths of your being. That's the way people live. That's the way a lot of born-again Christians live today, if they must be honest with themselves in the depths of their heart. Now, the reason why we struggle so much is because we've got this change mentality. That's what we hear all the time. You must change here. You must change there. That's what you preach to yourself all the time. Baptist, you need a change. You know, John, you need a change. Mary Ann, you need a change. And you know what that means? That means you're never happy with yourself. That means you will never have a good self-worth. That means you always live in condemnation. You know, I don't know who said this, but somebody said that God loves you so much. God loves you just the way you are, but He loves you so much that He's not willing to keep you the way you are. Man, that sounds good, but it's a foolish statement. That's not God's plan for you. God loves you the way you are. And all the change that was needed for you in order to be righteous, in order to be holy, in order to be blameless before God, happened in Jesus. Now, whenever we look at anything in the Bible, we must have a certain perspective on it. Now, the perspective or the point of view that we must have is from the cross, from Jesus. And I call it the perspective of representation. Now let me explain that. When Adam sinned, he was the representative of man, and through his sin, everybody was dumped into sin and into the consequences of sin. People received their poverty, they received their sickness, they received their death, they received everything that they never wanted to have through one man, Adam. So Adam, when he changed from righteousness to unrighteousness, you changed from righteousness to unrighteousness. You didn't go around saying, well, I'm going to believe now to be unrighteous. No. By his faith, by the faith of Adam, you were made unrighteous. Now you can say, Beth, explain that to me. Let me do that. When Adam believed Satan, and he believed that he will be like God by what he does, and not by who God made him to be, but by what he does. When he believed that, he believed himself into unrighteousness. And he was the representative of man. And when he believed that, all of man was dumped into unrighteousness. And when he believed that, he received everything that comes with that. He received the ability to die. He received poverty. He was put out of that absolute place of provision to a place where he had to provide by his own works. He had to go and work for a living. He was not living on the interest anymore. He was working for a living now. Okay, he was struggling. All of a sudden, a stress came into his life as his one son murdered the other son. All those things came through Adam. You know, we didn't have to go and say, well, I believe I'm going to receive this bad temper now, and I hope I get it, but I'm struggling to enter into it. No, Adam received it on our behalf, and when he changed, we changed. When he changed everybody's life, everything in their lives, everything changed because Adam changed. Hallelujah. I thank God for that. Now you might say, Bertie, how can you thank God for that? Because there's a scripture in the Bible, in Romans 5:19, that says it very clear and simple. It says, if through the disobedience of one, all became sinners, through the obedience of one, many shall become righteous. Amen. So, it's not by your obedience that you have changed. It's by the obedience of Jesus on your behalf that mankind has changed. Hallelujah. That is really, really setting people free. If you can grab a hold of that. You didn't put in any effort to change from righteousness to unrighteousness. You were just born into it. In the same way as what it was effortless for the descendants of Adam to walk in sin and to experience that change that happened in Adam, in the same way it's supposed to be effortless for us to walk in righteousness. And that is what God has brought for us. Now there is a battle according to Romans chapter 6 that says, you know, our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities, against all those types of things. Yes, that is there, and I spoke about spiritual warfare. We had our rebroadcast, so if you haven't listened to that, you can also get it from our website for free at dynamicministries.com. Get it, just download it, listen to it online if you want to. Man, you will be so blessed by that. I thank God for the internet, you know. Through the internet, we can really reach millions of people. I must be honest, my internet, the response of the internet to the website is much greater than the television program. It's awesome to see what God does through the internet. So log on to that, onto that website and get into that thing about spiritual warfare. You'll be blessed. It's under Wordwell. Now, what I wanted to say is this. When we get, we will get onslaughts, if you want to put it like that, or battles. And that will be from, that's all in the mind. That's what it is. It is, you are not righteous, you are not holy, this change is not this easy. That's the type of battle we will have. But the change that we want in our life is not supposed to be difficult. It's supposed to be effortless. You know, if you look at Jacob, it wasn't an effort for him to be sly. It wasn't an effort for him to be a liar. It wasn't an effort for him to be a crook. It was not. It was easy. It came natural. Now, man was created righteous. Now, for Adam to experience all the death that there could be, for him to experience poverty, for him to experience nakedness, not having even clothes, for him to experience all of that, he didn't have to put in a lot of effort. He just believed Satan. And when he believed him, everything just happened to him. He didn't even know about all those things. He didn't even know all those things exist. It just happened to him. Now, in the same way as what Adam represented us and believed us into unrighteousness, in the same way, Jesus, and I'm not going to use right English, but I want to use it this way, he faithed us into righteousness and the consequences of being righteous. That means you are prosperous. That means you are healed. That means you are blessed. And all of that. You know, so many times as Christians, we believe that Jesus did it all, but I now just need to go and receive it. We're missing the point there. I do believe that God gave me a revelation on this. We're missing the point there. Jesus even received it on my behalf. And when I believe that, when I believe he received it on my behalf, he did everything that had to be done in order to qualify. Then once he qualified, he received it. And now I'm in him. You know what's going to happen? It's just going to flow over to me. As easy as what it was for Adam to become poor, to have sons that was murderers, to have all those type of things. That's how easy it is for me to walk in this life in righteousness, to have children that's going to be in righteousness, to have prosperity, to have joy because of Jesus. Hallelujah. Because when he received it, I've received it. When he changed, I changed. When Jesus became a sinner, the Bible says he was made sin. Let's read that. 2 Corinthians 5:21. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Now listen to this. Talking about change. It says, "For He has made Him to be sin for us." So Jesus was made sin for us. So Jesus could have been called, now I know He was without sin, but the day He was made sin, He became the worst sin possible. Jesus became that sin. That's what happened. And then from that state of sin, because He obeyed everything on our behalf as well, from the state of sin, He took the punishment for sin. And He died. And when He was resurrected, for He in Himself never did anything wrong, and He was raised by the glory of God, which was the grace of God and the goodness of God. When He was raised by God's view and opinion about Him, when He was raised up from the dead, out of that He was changed from that place of sin, that uttermost, most depth sin, all poverty, all sickness, into absolute holiness, absolute righteousness, eternal life, eternal blessing, joy, and whatever you can imagine. He's been changed into that. And when He was changed into that, He received all the blessings that could ever come upon a man as righteous as Jesus. He was seated at the right hand of the Father. He received all authority in heaven and on earth. That's what He received. He received it. It has been given unto Him. And when He received all authority, when He received all prosperity, when He received all healing, He received it as a human being, as a normal man. That's how He received it. Nothing changed. He received it. Nothing changed from, from before He became sin. When He was in heaven, nothing changed. He was still as righteous as before the time. But the difference was is, He was as righteous as what He was before He became flesh, but now in human flesh, representing you and me. And when Jesus stood before the Father and He received it all, mankind received it. Hallelujah. And whosoever believes, this righteousness of God is manifested in him through faith by the grace of God. Hallelujah. This means that a Christian doesn't have to go through this thing. Well, you know, I became the righteousness of God now, and now my pastor said to me that I need to do the things Jesus has done, and Jesus is my example. I must do what Jesus has done. I must change my life to be like Jesus now. Now, people, that is not what God has got for us. No ways. When Jesus changed, you changed. And when you are in Christ, we have got faith in what Jesus has done on our behalf. We've got faith that His faith is big enough to give the life we want to have. We've got faith in the fact that His faith was big enough, powerful enough, to bring a change to all of mankind. And when I am in Him, my expectation is the manifestation of the change that there was in Jesus. Hallelujah. So I am just expecting financial prosperity. I am expecting healing. I am expecting peace of mind. I am expecting life, the life of God, to manifest in my life. I'm not going to try and make the life of God manifest. I'm not going to make a copy or copy the life of Jesus. No, I want the real life of Jesus manifesting in my life. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? And that's a place of rest. The Bible says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That word labor and heavy laden means to be overburdened with the practicalities of religion. You know, these days we've got so many practicalities of religion. Don't touch this, don't do this, don't do this. And that's the very thing that keeps you away from knowing God. I want to repeat that. The thing you think you need to do in order to change, the whole change mentality, is what's keeping you away from changing. Now, so many times that's the only mentality we have, and we don't have the mentality that I've just explained to you now. And this is what I've said, and I want to repeat myself. I'll just do this in short. Number one, Adam changed us. Adam changed us. Then there came the last Adam, and he has changed us. Hallelujah. Do you know why people live in unrighteousness? It's because that's what they believe. They don't believe the gospel, that's why. And the moment they believe the gospel, they move from unrighteousness to righteousness, and they believe God, and it's reckoned to them for righteousness, because they put their trust in Jesus, that Jesus has changed them from darkness into light, that Jesus changed them from sickness into health, from negativity to positive, from depression to blessing, to joy, from poverty into wealth. Jesus changed you. Don't try to change. Rest in the fact that Jesus has changed you upon the cross, and then on a daily basis you expect, you hope, you by faith, you just experience the change of God. Amen. You know what blessed me so much? You know, there are certain areas in our lives that we want to receive something from God. But, you know, it's always as if the goalpost has just moved. You can never receive it. You never qualify. You're never at that place where you can receive from God. Now, I've got good news for you. Listen to what I'm going to tell you today. You don't have to do 20 things to receive it from God. You can believe that Jesus receives it on your behalf, and when you are in Christ, it is yours. You'll find it. I've seen it in my life. There are areas in my life that was just so difficult to change. But as I got into this, there was just such a rest that just flooded my mind, my heart, my soul. And I could just say, hallelujah. I'm not going to work to receive it from God. Jesus done it all. All I need to do now is just go and receive it. Man, Jesus received it in as much as what Adam received poverty on my behalf, and it flowed over into my life. Jesus received the greatest wealth, the greatest prosperity, the greatest healing, the greatest soundness of mind. And I am in Him, and He changed me when He changed. And now everything has changed, and I am in Christ. Hallelujah. Now I want to end off with this scripture quickly. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And just one scripture on change. And I want to just say this for interest's sake. Nowhere in the Bible is there one scripture that says we must change. Nowhere did Paul preach, you must change. It's nowhere in the Bible. There's not such a place. You will not find it anywhere. Nowhere is the gospel preached as a gospel of you must change to be pleasing to God. It's nowhere. Now let me read to you how do we get it right to change. It says in 2 Corinthians 3, and then we're going to get deep into this in the next sessions. It says, but we all with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, as by the Spirit of the Lord. So how do we change? We look into the glory of God. And as you look into the glory of God, you find that the Holy Spirit brings forth the change into your life. And that change is by the grace of God. Now we're going to talk more about that in the next session. So make sure you don't miss this. You can also go to dynamicministries.com and you can go into the next session. It will also be on the website already, if you can't wait for next week, and just watch it over there. Man, I see you in dynamicministries.com. See you next week in this broadcast. Know this, God loves you, and that the power of Jesus on the cross is much greater than what we have ever thought. Know this, God, His light, His love shines over you, and He always approves of you because of Jesus, if you are in Jesus Christ. Amen. Let me just pray for those people who need prayer right now. And I want you to know that you've received everything already in Jesus. Father, I just stretch forth my hand to every person that's got a desire in their heart to change. That burden of change. I thank you that it's lifted off them. Because we cannot change unless you change us, my Father. Therefore, I stretch forth my hand to every viewer that's watching me on television or on the internet. And I say, you have changed in Jesus. Expect the overflow of that. And let this gospel renew your mind so that you can experience the change that comes from your innermost being through the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Well, I want to thank you that you've watched this. God bless you.